Okay, so we are restarting again. So thank you, Addison. All right. So can you tell me a little bit more about what you love about anime?
Yes. I love that it kind of transports me into like a whole different world. It kind of takes my mind off of what's going on in the actual world. I love animes, like My Hero Academia is my favorite. I love it. like I have figures and posters all around my room. But I also love romance anime a lot. I kind of feel like that's because I'm a hopeless romantic at heart. So I love like the little lovey-dovey cheesy stories that they be telling. Yeah. And I also, sometimes the anime community can be like really like, oh girl, whoa. But there are so many people that I have found that we just like bond over anime. And it is like so fun to talk about like our favorite characters or our favorite anime. And like literally me and my family, like we would like for dinner, we would sit and we would watch an anime. And like sometimes we even binge watch it and then we'll talk afterwards. Like again, like it's kind of like the sense of community and feeling like it's kind of like, yeah, the sense of community and like I just love talking about anime to anybody. So yeah.
Thank you.
It's also, oh sorry, yeah, I just want to kind of continue. Mm-hmm. It's also like expressive too. It's one of the reasons why I'm able to express myself now, seeing like characters like Deku and Naruto, like being able to just be themselves and like go through what they go through and still like carry on and still like, we'll still carry on and still go through. I'm like, girl, I could do that too. Like, so yeah, I just love it.
Thank you. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you mentioned? How much you love Hudson, mm-hmm. And also things that you might want to see changed too. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I would say this isn't like anything like groundbreaking or like anything like new that people want to see, but definitely like more things for the youth. I would say when I see youth now, I'm just like, they know about so many like grown people stuff. Like, I'm just like, whoa, like I was never thinking about that when I was a kid. And I don't really feel like they have like the chance to be a kid. So I would say like more spaces for kids to just be kids. But then also I want more spaces for kids to have that kind of space to sit there and talk about their feelings. I feel like, whoa, I was talking way too fast. But I feel like sometimes adults, and it's not always their fault, but they kind of ignore kids' feelings. I don't really feel like kids' feelings matter. Yes, kids can be dramatic, but to invalidate feelings just because you think they're dramatic is like, what? It's never made sense to me because I feel like all feelings need to be, I'm someone who thinks that all feelings need to be shared, all feelings need to be felt. Or else, how are you going to survive or how are you going to go on without feeling those feelings? So I feel like a space where kids can really, like, feel those feelings and be able to just vent.
Can you tell me about what spaces there currently are for youth?
I would say there is Promise Neighborhood. There is Kite's Nest. I went to Kite's Nest when I was little. Oh my gosh, it is so amazing. I used to love going. SJLA is such an amazing program. Social Justice Leadership Academy. It teaches you a lot about like what it is to be a person of color, and not only like in Hudson but just in general, and all the things we go through and how we can really make a change, it really, like, lets you use your voice. And not only for people of color, but, like, for housing, for everything. Like, so, yeah, SJLA, Kites Nest, yes. Operation Unite, yes, I'm repping it today. I work there. I'm a team leader at Operation Unite. We take older kids. I would say our program's definitely geared towards more of a high school level or age. We do trips like college trips let me talk about trips first. My mind is everywhere. I'm so sorry. We do college trips. We do Kumba Dance and Drum, which is one of our programs that we'll be doing at Waterfront Wednesday soon as well. We do gardening. We do a variety of different things. And that's just so that junior highest to high school level, like, they're prepared for the real world. And it's also great for college resumes too, to like have all these different experiences and being able to put them all on your college resume as well. So we help with stuff like that too. Bendel Stiff Circus, the Boys and Girls Club, the Clubhouse. So yeah, those are places that
Would you say, or is there anything that the Hudson community can do to strengthen those places for youth?
I would say, that's a good question. I say it's a good question, but I don't know how to answer it.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
I would say, I know for the Clubhouse, they don't get a lot of kids. So I would say, I guess, more, let your kids know what's out there, basically. I know there are a lot of the reasons why kids don't go to youth organizations is because some of them don't even know what type of things be going on there. Some of them don't even know that they even exist. Mm-hmm. So I would say letting your kids know the options that they have in Hudson when it comes to, like, the youth organizations that are there to help them and support them and be there for them. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you say that maybe the adults in power or the adults in general maybe don't know that the youth does know?
I would say that, I would say definitely the substance and drug use, it's, like, insane. Yeah, I'm 20, so yeah. As a youth, I would say I see a lot of that. And I don't think that some adults are going, about it the right way. I feel as though telling kids to not do drugs is not the way to go. Yes, like, yeah, you don't want them to do drugs. What the heck? You don't want them to do drugs. You want to prevent that. But I think, like, not really telling them all there is to drugs, like, yeah, some people vape because it feels good to them. Some people do marijuana because it feels good to them. But also, like, letting them know, like, yeah, there are consequences to those things, and they could be, like, life-threatening. So, yeah, I would say drug usage. I feel like adults think they know, but they don't really know, like, a lot about it. So, yeah. I want to add one more thing. Also, mental health. I don't really feel like we've come a long way from, like, recognizing mental health. So, but I still feel like we have a long way to go. As someone who was diagnosed with OCD, I see that I see that misrepresented all the time. I see people just being like, oh, well, that frame looks a little crooked. Oh, my OCD is triggered. And for someone with OCD, it's like, girl, like, if you're not diagnosed, please just don't be saying, oh, yeah, that's my OCD, you're getting me. Because OCD is way more than just, like, oh, perfectionism. It's like, yeah, that could be a symptom, but it's way more. So I feel like the misrepresentation of certain disorders out there, I feel like that's something that the youth knows more than the adults. But I also feel like really knowing how to be there, I feel like some adults, I've had people just being like, oh, are you just depressed? Like, is that all that's wrong? And I'm like, there's so much more I feel like adults could learn from youth when it comes to mental health. So, yeah.
You mentioned some of your biggest supporters. Can you maybe tell me also about some mentors or teachers or people who had a big impact on you?
Yeah. I would say I wasn't the biggest fan of teachers in school, but I would say when I got to high school, there was a social worker there, but also my math teacher as well. So both of them were so amazing to me. Anytime I wanted to sit there and just talk about anything, they would always be there, especially the social worker that worked there, Ms. Fisher, and my math teacher, Ms. Kazaza. When I went through it's because of my nerves. When I went from moving to my adoptive family's house to moving to my biological family's house, they were really supportive. And I feel like at the time I didn't realize how many people I had, or those people specifically that I had, to really like be there for me and like really help me process what the heck just happened in my life. And I'm so grateful for them. I still talk to the social worker, Ms. Fisher, that works there. I just seen her today, actually. And we've always had a really close bond. She's always someone that I go to, especially when it came to, like, the harassment that I got in school for being myself. She was always supportive. There are times that I sat there and I cried because I was just like, why is this, like, why? Like, why can't I just... And she would just, like, let me cry. She would, like, you know, give me some really good advice. And, yeah. Yeah.
Would you like to tell me maybe a little bit more about what you kind of hope for yourself or for, yeah, we'll start with yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope for myself that I am able to overcome the kind of, not even kind of, but I talked a lot about the LGBTQ, but even myself, I dealt with a lot of internalized homophobia because of the fact that I've seen it all around me, especially, I haven't mentioned this yet, but like certain like family members, not family members, more like a family member, who made it really hard for me to like being myself. I would say like during 2023, that was my hardest year. And I feel like no one really knows, but I dealt with a lot of internalized homophobia. Like, I hated myself a lot. I hated myself so much. It's not that I didn't want to be here. It's I didn't want to be myself. And for me, there was a lot of emotions there. I felt confused. Like, for the first time, I was just like, I don't even feel like I'm in my body right now. I feel like someone else is taking over because I've never felt this way. And I felt angry because I know that, you know, being yourself, loving who you love, there's nothing wrong with it. But I also felt angry because there are people out there who spread that narrative. And I also felt sad because for the first time, I didn't feel content with myself. And I felt so out of place. And And I felt so ashamed, not only because of the fact that I was dealing with so much internalized homophobia, but I also felt ashamed that I even felt that way to begin with, and there were people that could even make me feel that way. So I would say for myself, I want to see myself get back to, even if it's not like fully, get back to that place where I'm like accepting myself again. And I have gotten better with it. I started wearing skirts and dresses again, and I feel amazing. But then there's always that like that kind of voice in my head that is like, no, Addison, this isn't. And it's easier to ignore it, especially with therapy now. It's been easier to ignore it, but sometimes it's harder on most days. And I want to see myself get to a place where I don't have that thought. That is not even, it's non-existent. I want to see myself get to a place where I feel comfortable again. Like, yeah. That's what I see for myself at this moment. Yeah.
Thank you. That was very moving.
Thank you.
Can you maybe tell me about some things that inspire you?
Yeah. I would say some things that inspire me are definitely I would say music. Music is my number one, because I do love to sing, but also artists like, I listen to K-pop a lot, so I love groups. They're not a K-pop group, I know this, but Cat's Eye, I love Cat's Eye so much. You can't see it, but I have like a little photo card of my favorite member, Laura. She like recently came out as bi, and to me, I was like, whoa, like, that's really cool, because although like, everybody around me knows that I'm gay. It was kind of cool to see someone in a space that leans more towards a conservative way, for her to still feel like, okay, like, yeah, like, I'm gonna be myself. I'm gonna like do me. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool, because like, I wanna do that too. I wanna be comfortable, and I wanna like find a boyfriend and not be afraid to like. Be like, oh my gosh, we're outside, I gotta hide. Like, no, I wanna be able to do that too. I wanna be able to be myself. I've come a long way, but there's some things that I'm still scared about. So yeah, music is my number one inspiration. Also other artists like Pink Pantherist and Sabrina Carpenter, Conan Gray, like those are all my biggest inspirations. But music and family, family, I mention them a lot, but I'm a big family person, so they're also my inspiration. Also, seeing people in Hudson, really? I lived here all my life, Hudson, come up to me and be like, they compliment my hair, like, they just see me and they're just like, I love how you're able to be yourself. Hearing that, I don't feel like people realize how much I love that, because it's the reassurance that it's okay to be me, and I'm doing something right, and I'm not doing anything wrong. Every time I get that, like, that, I love that I can just see you walk down the street and you just be you no matter what. Like, I love hearing that, and, I just burped, I'm so sorry. But hearing that always gives me, like, the reassurance that I kind of need sometimes. So, yeah.
Thank you. So we talked about what you hope for yourself. Do you have any hopes for your community, for Hudson?
Mm-hmm. I hope that we, even though we are such an accepting community already, I hope that we make it more, even more acceptable and even more comfortable to where people are able to be themselves and are able, especially because in times like this, people are starting to show their true colors and it's scary, girl. So especially in times like this, I hope that we are still showing up for people who need that reassurance, who need that acknowledgement, and who really need to be seen. Because sometimes even though you can feel alone even when you're seen by hundreds of people, you could still feel that, but it just takes that one step of like acknowledgement and reassurance and recognizing them to really let them know that, yeah, I want to be myself. It's okay to be myself. So yeah, I want to see that. I want to see more of it, even if it's already being done. I want to see more. So yeah. And also, like, I want to see Hudson, even though we already do it, show up for the youth, because the youth is, girl, the youth is the future. You got to show up for them no matter what. So yeah, that's what I want to see.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, anything I didn't ask you that I should have asked you?
I feel like I shared everything that I wanted to share. I probably look back at this and be like, I wish I said that. But in this moment, I feel pretty content. So yeah, I feel like I said everything I need to say. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate your time and your words. And you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to turn the recording off now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.